Hello, welcome to the first episode of Telling the Story with Pixels. I'm your host, Eli Silva.
And I'm Vanessa Silva. Today we're going to be talking and recapping from the Elevate Conference in the Southern Territory, the CRD Conference, and just kind of walking through the presentation that we were very honored to give this past week. Eli, do you think you can walk us through just the main gist of your presentation?
Yeah, I will. And remember, this is our first time, so please allow, you know, a little bit of room for grace and errors. I'm just going to try. But basically, we talked about using storytelling for fundraising or digital fundraising. Now, if you think about it, that is not necessarily a new concept. That is an old concept. Storytelling has been for ages there, right? Today, in the digital environment, what we're trying to do is to differentiate or create two aspects of it. Using the storytelling as an inbound process. I'm going to explain a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. And also storytelling as an outbound process. So when you talk about outbound marketing or outbound storytelling, it's what we've done all the time. It's just telling our story. We are improving at the Salvation Army, and I'm glad to see that, how we are improving it and using a camera and using a phone and using many different mediums. And by the way, storytelling is not just video, but for this aspect of a conversation, let's focus on visual storytelling, okay? Photography or video and even audio. So again, outbound is what we say, this is what we do, and this is our service, and these are our services, and this is what we're doing, and this is disaster, and so forth. So the more we put stories out there, that's the outbound, and it has a way to bring people in, to engage donors. I explained a little bit in the conference, and I hope that we can see this on the slides, and how you can use your local stories and show that to your donors, current donors, and donors lookalikes, and then you can move them and kind of select and create audiences based on people who watch that first story, and then show them a second story, and then from now on retargeting and so forth. So it's not my intention to give the whole class here, but that's the outbound storytelling aspect. Now, when it comes to inbound, which is to me the most exciting one, is when we as an army, we create content that is relevant to potential donors. Mm. Not necessarily to potential clients, which is awesome when we create aspects of financial literacy or how to raise your kids, and all that content is great, but most likely you're gonna bring more clients to the Salvation Army, and there's an outlet for that. There is something that to be said about it. But when it comes to try to engage potential donors, how do we create content that somewhat will be interesting to potential donors? Mm-hmm. That will be not just interesting, but relevant. Why? Well, because at the end of the day, if we want to raise digital funds, we need a way to communicate with them. Now, that could be via a video series, as I said before. That could be in many other mediums, social media, paid social media, organic social media. So there are many other ways to where people, we can bring people to our landing page. But if I want to create that journey, though, the best method of communication so far is still emails. So that brings us to a formula. If I need more funds, I need more donors. If I need more donors, I need more leads. And what is a lead? Well, a lead for us will be a person that lives in the top 50 to 25% zip codes, or the zip codes where normally our donations come from. That's kind of a initial component. But the second component is like they know already about our organization, so they know that we are the Salvation Army. And then we have a way to communicate with them, whether it's a phone number or an email and so forth. How do we capture an email? That's kind of the big question that we're trying to solve here, because when you place on our website, you know, subscribe to our e-newsletter, that worked 10, 20 years ago. Today, for people to put their email there, there has to be something behind on the other side. There has to be something that they will say, man, I want to subscribe to this e-newsletter.
Or something reciprocal.
Right, because it's transactional though. When you put your email on a website or something, there is a transaction. It's not monetary, but there is a transaction. So now, if you give your EliSilva@AOL.com, man, I'm sure that that email is no longer like your most relevant email. So I want, from those potential donors, I want the best possible email. How do I do that? Well, by creating really good and value content. What is value content? It varies from you, it varies from you, it varies from me. So the approach we have is we go and search, what is this community, you know, looking for? When I talk about community, I'm not talking about 2-3 zip codes. It has to be a little bit broader than that, at least your city, your metro area. And you, there are many tools for you to know what's what people are looking for. What are the biggest search criteria? And once you find that, you can create content from the Salvation Army that eventually can be linked to one of the Salvation Army local programs. So yes, you start producing content, and then you can link that conversation later to support our program. Of course, it is way more complex than that. I don't want to say complicated because it's not really complicated, but it's intricate, it's complex. It has a lot of parts, moving parts, that they all have to be measured, they have to be optimized. And again, it's almost like a spider web of communications. It's no longer linear. It's not like people watch this video and then people will watch this second video, and then there is an ask. There is a way to do that, as I explained at the beginning. There is a space for that in your marketing or digital marketing. But really, I believe that the most important part is when you make a digital ecosystem. And it's when your website, your social media, organic social media, your paid social media, your email marketing, they all feed each other. Mm-hmm. There is data from one component to the next one. And once you have that, you can start scoring your donors or potential donors and know which communication, which narrative you should be applying or sharing with this particular donor. Whether it's a person that just started the journey with you and your communication, or maybe it's a person that's been retargeted because some people will click on the first email or the second, or maybe land on the donation landing page but never reach the thank you page, which means that something happened in between. And how do you retarget and come back to that person? Obviously, you don't talk to that person the same way you talk to the person that just engaged with you.
Yeah.
You talk to that person in a way that person has been already in several places in your communications donation. So I know that this topic is really extends. We've been doing it for years and years and many different tests and different mediums. But it's our passion, though. How can we get the Salvation Army to become a publisher, an editorial? How? Well, because if we don't provide value, yes, by we telling our story, it makes a dent. If your unit has already a communications plan that focuses on your local impact, I believe that's already a win. However, to be competitive with these times, especially with the smaller, more dynamic nonprofits, sometimes they have, believe it or not, sometimes they have to kind of scrape the barrel to do anything. And next thing you know, they have a person and a spokesperson that tells the story and from their perspective, right? And they use TikTok and YouTube Shorts and this and that. And sometimes their communication plans are more aggressive than our conservative, all tools in the box approach. So that's how I see it. And that's why I believe so much in the Salvation Army becoming an editorial on a local basis, and being able to have a voice that speaks value to the community. And in that interchange, there is an opportunity to tell our story.
That sounds amazing. But I think a question that we have is, okay, we're going to put all this effort into creating this content. Why wouldn't we just buy email lists? Email lists are quicker and cheaper. Why is this method of creating tailored content more effective?
That is one of the questions from the workshop, though. In buying an email list, I don't think there is anything wrong with that. I think that performed really well in the past. I think that when done right in specific times of the year, because of the Salvation Army's kind of narrative, can deliver results. But the challenge, though, is not necessarily the first gift. The biggest challenge comes into the second gift or the third gift. Why? Well, because there is no engagement. So when you buy a list and you buy the list and you nurture your list and you send whatever the email, you know, campaign you want, and it's close to Thanksgiving and Christmas, of course that's going to perform. And it's because, you know, yes, you can donate $25, $50, $100 to the Salvation Army. I don't think that will be necessarily a problem. The challenge is in January, February, March, June. And it's because that person was purchased. That person's data was added to a funnel that maybe touched their heart, and they can make that initial donation. But since there is no engagement, there is no real engagement. The second time the Salvation Army shows up on an email asking, shows up, there's like, oh, I already donated to the Salvation Army. And we see that on the stats. Like, there is a big peak, you can see it, you can see a dent coming up, but then you see a go down. So that is the challenge that buying an email list brings. It's not necessarily the initial performance, it's the overall engagement. And this approach of inbound marketing actually switches that paradigm. It creates engagement first. And once we have that engagement, let me tell you a little bit more about our story, our local impact. Can you support, like, I know that you are into food, or I know that you are into home decor. I know you are into fishing. Who knows? So since you are into food, let me tell you about our feeding programs. Can you support this and that? So that's why at the beginning, we try to find topics that are somehow linked to our programs later on, so we can kind of find a place to in common. So you are into food and whatever. Yes, we are into food as well, but we are into mass feeding people. We are into kitchen pantries and stuff like that. So
yeah, that's very interesting. And I think like a very simple distinction is we're given an email versus we purchased an email.
Right.
So it's voluntarily given by the email user.
Inarguably, the higher the value you bring into that lead magnet, that's the name we give to, or the industry, you can find that. That juicy piece of content that if I am into cooking or whatever, and when I see it, man, I had to have it. Mm-hmm. And that lead magnet has to have a high perceived value, something that you will say, It will cost. It's an ebook or something, or it's a guide, or it's a checklist for this or that. Something that has really real value, perceived value. Let's say that is maybe $100, $150, $200 perceived value, okay? And I'm going to give it to you for free. If you are really into it and you can Google that easily, or you can find it on YouTube, so it's very unique in a sense, chances are you're going to give me your best email because you want to have it. And that's why we have to work so hard always in getting that super high perceived value content.
And the test we're currently doing is like in Central Maryland, and we've talked to some people about doing cookies and gluten-free healthy baking because that's what Central Maryland is. But a question some people have is, does it have to be cookies?
Yeah.
How do you connect different ones? Yeah.
No, in Central Maryland per se, cookies, and it's because we did a research at the beginning and many items pop up, many keywords, okay? And you probably can see this on your screen that we selected some keywords that somehow still had the high perceived or high search results or volumes. But then how can we take that keyword and somehow, if we develop content, can we link these keywords somehow with our programs? So if you're in an area where fishing is a thing, and we can link that with our after-school programs or summer camps and so forth, hey, so be it. I was thinking, what about housing programs? And I thought, okay, is interior design, interior decor, or whatever, a high search volume in your area. So how can we create content around that is unique, that is brought to you by the Salvation Army, and so forth? So I know that you love taking care of your garden, or I love that I know that you love taking care of your house and the interior design and all that. At some point, I will tell you, what about those that don't have a house to decor? Mm. What about those that don't have a house to design?
And my last question to you today is, succinctly, why is inbound more effective than outbound? When we've been pushing that narrative, we need to tell our story. We need to make the Salvation Army brand awareness grow. Now it feels kind of opposite. Now we're like, okay, we're not putting necessarily Salvation Army front and center. Now we're talking to you about something else that isn't necessarily our programs. Why is that approach more effective in today's digital landscape?
Mm-hmm. Very important. It's because the digital landscape is so full of content already, so full of advertisement, so full of everything. So everywhere that you kind of move your eyes to, you will see a banner, you will see an ad, you will see that. So we are bombarded with that. But intrinsically, there are some topics that we are really into. So if you are into biking, if you are into whatever, when you connect to a person at their highest level of interest, or at one of the highest level of interest, it's easier for you to introduce yourself. But if everything I'm saying to you is what I do, what I do, what I do, yes, you will support me to a point, but I highly doubt that that engagement has a long-lasting, you know, impact. But when we meet in a place where we both can talk about that, and at some point you can tell me about your job, that's okay. But then I'll tell you what I'm passionate about and what my organization is all about. Yes, it will feel, especially if you're trying to grasp this, it will feel like a very long shot. And it is. But the reality is, like, if we don't do that approach, if we don't figure out a way to bring pre-qualified emails or contacts or potential donors to our list, our donors lists are declining. So how do we revert that? Mm. We need more pre-qualified contacts. And in this way is where we bring pre-qualified contacts, people that they give their best email on their own. They want to be in contact with the Salvation Army. You have to see the sentiment value of those campaigns, the share ratio of our ads, and how people want their friends and their family to know about this, because it has a value. But it's very rare, it happens, but it's very rare that we do an outbound campaign with a video, and the video has an ask, a $25 ask or something, and that is shared. Mm-hmm. It happens, but the ratio is not even in the same spectrum. When you provide value, and then you have your peeps, they like, you know, whatever, you want them to know that, hey, this list is amazing.
Your cooking
These
class.
Cookies are amazing. These cookies are amazing. We just tried and make them. And I'm telling you, for someone in Central Maryland that is gluten intolerant, what we found in the stats, there are many parents whose kids are suffering from any of those conditions, right? Or even bigger, grandparents. So when we started that during the holidays, it exploded, because basically when we saw the age was in the age of earlier, like people maybe doing on themselves, like 18 to 25, then there was a gap between 25 to 40 or something. I guess that they don't have kids, so they haven't found out, right? But then from early 40, 45 and up, there was a big spike on people finding these type of recipes for the holidays. So now, at the moment of recording this podcast, we are already through April. We have kind of given a different twist in adapting the same recipes, the same concept to the time the time of the year we're living. So I'm super excited to see the summer version of this, because the production, the photography, and everything that I've seen, guys, is top notch. I'm gonna probably leave a little bit of a screenshot here of what's going on, even what is in the past. Because I think it's worth to mention that perceived value is there, and it's brought to you by the Salvation Army. Sometimes it's hard to see the Salvation, not hard, but it's uncommon to see the Salvation Army logo in a super high value, high quality and all that piece of content that is given to potential donors for free. We've done that forever. We've given music, we've given donuts for that matter. We've done we've created many, many pieces of content and given them away just to thank donors, to start a conversation. So this is no different. This is just the topic might be different.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for pouring your brain out and letting us pick at it and see how we can use this and share this with others. And I'm looking forward to future conversations.
Yes, we will have so many more conversations, and many of these conversations will be concepts. Concepts that we've stored in our heads and in our staff meetings, and we want to share this. We want these to be collaborative, and as you see, it's a super, super simple environment. We don't want to make this up. Turn the camera on, let's have this conversation, and if someone sees value in this, amazing. So if you found value on this, please share this with your coworkers, or send this to any other Salvation Army unit that may have not seen this before. And shoot us your questions or any way that you want to question this or have a challenge or something, please send it on, because I believe that just makes these concepts stronger. And the reason we call this podcast Telling the Story with Pixels is because our strong component is storytelling, right? But then we added the data to it. So we are a data-driven storytelling agency that focuses on the Salvation Army. And we believe that pixels as a way of communications, like the pixels that, you know, the small color portion square for a picture, but also pixels as data that you can put in your website, social media, and so forth, so you can track the distribution of this story. So I'll hope to see you, and again, send us your questions if you haven't. Thank you.